Hey, what's up? It's DJ Self, the Gwinner Guard. It's apartment 5H. We in the building. I have some longtime friends here that came through and chilled with me, Bianca. Shout out, this is my newsy neighbor. Actually, I want everybody to introduce themselves so I can say everyone's names properly. JR, I'll start with you.
JR Wright, a.k.a. Zeus, Harlem in the building.
L. Round, a.k.a. Mr. Roga.
I, Duke the God, a.k.a. the Iron God.
So now, Bianca, this might not be your...
Here we go. I knew you were going to do this.
This might not be your lane of hip-hop music. You understand what I'm saying? So just in case some people don't know who you guys are, first I want to start with you, Duke. What was your role and what is your role when it comes to hip-hop music in New York City?
Well, basically, like, my role is the organizer. You know what I'm saying? I put together the projects. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I give direction, you know, a lot of direction in the studio for the songs. You know what I mean? I pick a lot of the beats, you know, produce a little here and there. You know, I just get it going. I do the marketing, you know, I do that. I do, like, the artwork. You know,
how did you start? Because a lot of times everybody hear your name, right, on the songs and people shout out. And I think that those things were very important when it comes to people being aware of you. Mm-hmm. And then I know you was doing mixtapes and then not, also from mixtapes, albums, right? Mm-hmm. So how did you start and how did you get down with the movement?
Well, Cam is my cousin, so I was always...
Like blood cousin?
Yeah, basically. Okay. Like family, like, you know what I mean? But not blood, but we cousins, right?
Okay.
I mean? Uh-huh. And you know what I mean? So I always been down with him for a minute. Like I started with Children of the Corn. You know what I mean? I was down with
Who was Children of the Corn?
That was Rest in Peace Big L, Rest in Peace Bloodshed, Killer Cam, Murder Mace, and Herb McGruff.
So from my understanding, I'm from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And we're talking New York City stuff here. Mm-hmm. Children of the Corn was a prominent hip hop rap group in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, spread it a little bit, but they was prominent in Harlem. Mm-hmm. They, at a certain point, would you say like they were who everyone wanted to be or be like?
Yes, they were like the nucleus of rap from, I don't want to say that, because you know we had Dougie Fresh and shit like that, but they was like...
Of the new wave.
Yeah, they wanted to be like, everybody wanted to be them. You know what I mean? They had like, just imagine like, the cyphers back then, not in circles, and they was like the best people that was rapping, and that they were just so.
Would
far.
You say in New York or in Harlem?
In New York.
Okay, I'm giving you some time to shine. Nah, you know, you're talking to a Brooklyn cat. You know what I'm saying?
It's Big L we talking about. You okay, know? You see what happened when he went up there with Hov.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't
That's
do that.
A whole other story.
Don't do that. Here we go.
Yeah, so everybody, like, so they were just so far ahead of everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, Herb McGruff had a deal, L had a deal, and then eventually.
Who got the deal first? What is it L or McGruff got the deal first?
I think Gruff got the deal first.
Okay.
And then L came. Mm-hmm. I think it was like that. I think it was Gruff first and then L. And then eventually Mace.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean?
Mace was in Children of the Corn.
Yeah, Mace was in Children
of
the Corn.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He was an intricate part. You know what I mean? And we did a bunch of songs together. It's out now. You could get it. My man Digger, he put it out. You know what I mean? So them songs is scattered on the internet somewhere. You know what I mean? But yeah, it was a legendary group. I started from there. And then, you know, I always been in Cam's, you know, circle, whatever. So, you know what I mean? Then he got the Cam'ron deal. And I was there for that whole thing.
That's what, Entertainment?
Yeah, Entertainment.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Then he put out the two albums. He put out two albums for Entertainment, I believe. And then after that, I think the third album, that's when he started introducing the Diplomats.
How did this Dipset thing start?
I'm saying, like, I guess started, like, we was, I like to say, like, I mean, we kind of, like, we loved Master P.
Okay.
Like, we loved their formula. We used to love the way they...
No did, Limit.
Yeah, No Limit. They, you know? I love the way they did their... Yeah.
No Limit. Uh-huh.
They did their artwork, and they had, like, so many artists, you know what I mean? So we used to just ride around, listen to them all day. And, you know what I mean? To the point where, I don't know who, I guess Cam, whatever, and Digga, the producer, you know what I mean? They came up with something, Diplomats, you know what I mean? And then kind of put it together. And then from there... You know
at
I mean?
This time, who was around? From your recollection, when you said Diplomats,
It was Jim Jones, and it was Cam. It was Cam, Jim Jones, and no, that's when we had Stan Spit for a second. He was there for a little second in the beginning, and then that was it, really. You know, what I mean, it was no Jewels yet. It was no Hell Rel yet.
That's why I'm at talking to you.
That's good.
I insert them in. Okay,
it wasn't around yet, so it was just kind of like a clean slate. You know what I mean, and then eventually. We found Jewels, you know what I mean?
So how did y'all find Jewels? Was it you or who found
My man Tobe introduced Cam to Jewels. And then, it was an instant hit. I believe, like, when he introduced him to Jewels, took him right to the studio. I think he put him on, I think it was Double Up. It was, like, one of his first records, I think. You know what I mean? So he was ready right from the street to the studio. And he got on like that, and then...
Let me go back a little bit. And from your recollection, did you think the change from Entertainment to straight Epic or Sony, did that hurt Cam's career or did it help it?
No, I think it because Cam learned so much. And I think, like, even with Entertainment, Un is like, I guess Un kind of trained. I always say he kind of trained Cam to be like a star. You know what I mean? Because he was the star of the label. Cam would write rhymes for everybody, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Plus his own rhymes, you know what I mean? So
everybody, like who?
Like Charlie Baltimore.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And other artists that I had, you know what I'm saying? Cam would be writing a bunch of stuff. And, you know, I was real meticulous. Like, you know, he was like, yo, go do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. You know what I mean? So he liked it, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like he kind of, in a weird way, kind of trained Cam to be like super, you know what I mean? And, you know what I mean? So I think, and then when Cam got away from that, he kind of like understood the business and he was already ready, like well prepared, like he was like working out extra. I'm not physically, but like musically. And so when the Diplomats came, like when it was time to do that move, he already knew what he wanted to do. You know what I mean? He was ready, you know what I mean? He got Jim ready. Like, you know, in the early days, Jim wasn't the best rapper. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't, you know what I mean?
Was it always planned for Jim to be a rapper? Because some people tell me, you know, they'd be like, oh, Jim just started rapping, or Mace taught him, and this is... But then I start looking at albums, and I see, like, every album, Jim was on every album.
Cam, he trained Jim real good. He used to be like, yo, go back and say that shit like you mean it. Like, he was like, he was real bad. Cam ruled the front with a... When it comes to music, with an iron fist, you know what I'm saying? And so he whipped Jim into shape musically, you know what I'm saying, from what my perspective, you know what I mean? That's why, you know what I mean? Then he, you know, Cam did a song with Rest in Peace, his mother, you know, he put his mom's on the album, you know what I'm saying? Rest in Peace, Ma. So Cam was definitely like, but when he got away from Epic, he was dope. He was dope. I mean, so yeah, that's pretty much.
So now we find Jewels. Tone, you said, right?
Tobe.
Tobe finds Jewels. Mm-hmm. All right, so now I'm guessing the nucleus is Cam, Jewels, then Jim third. Would you say that?
Yeah.
Okay. And so now let's start from let's tell the story from there. From your recollection.
Oh yeah. We put out the mixtapes and put out Diplomats Volume 1. You know what I mean?
How did y'all start even doing those things?
Just because we just had music just laying around it, and it was no date for no album or nothing. So Killer just rapped on a bunch of beats that was out, you know what I mean? And, you know, at that time, it was no outlet to actually put them in stores. I'm just saying, like, the music. So he just came up with a plan to put these songs on tapes and slap a cover on it. And go.
The idea come from? I don't know, because I can't remember at this time. Was it like those times when the G Units mixtapes were coming out?
Same time. Right?
Yeah,
same time.
I want to say about maybe like a couple months apart. That because they were listening to us, and I remember we used to listen to them.
Yeah.
But I think it may have been like a couple months apart that when they put out their first tape, and then we put out our first tape.
With K Slay. Rest in peace, K Slay.
Yeah, with K Slay. So, yeah, to just do that, like kind of like you know, like a whole project with just your niggas on it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like, not saying we was, I don't want to say the first ones to do it, but we was kind of like, you know what I mean? Among the first, maybe the first five people to do it.
The first crop.
Yeah.
The first crop.
Yeah,
so now Juelz is here. What made you guys say, let's, you know, expand more?
That's a good one. Nah, because like you said, Luca Brasi, shout out to Luca Brasi.
Okay, Luca Brasi.
Like their stories is, you know what I mean? They introduced.
Where did Luca Brasi come from?
He was just.
I'm a Brooklyn. I'm trying to learn this story.
Luca Brasi was uptown.
I hear the names and stuff like that, right? But you know, sometimes because I want to unconfuse me and people also because when I say
that's good.
It seemed like. It was like it was a whole bunch of branch, you know. It's like, it's Purple City, Dipset, Bird Gang. Yeah. It's this thing over here. And you understand? It's like, 145th
and Broadway was like the hotbed where everybody was hanging out. My man Luca Brasi, shout out to Luca Brasi. He was a hustler. He was selling.
That's
things.
Where all the stores, the clothing stores,
yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah, but okay, he had his own stores outside the stores.
Okay.
Selling clothes, socks, mixtapes, shit like that. So. We always used to always hang out there with him, and Cam and him had a relationship. Used to always come through shop, shit like that. So Uncasa had put out a mixtape. Well, this is where I come in. Uncasa had put out a mixtape. I had freestyle on it. Cam played it. I mean, Luca played it for Cam, and he like, yo, I need you on the team.
So now Hell-Rell is entering the stage.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This was after Juelz.
This was after the first couple of tapes. This was after Volume. When you came around, Volume?
Volume, I was there for the first Diplomat tape. I just wasn't on it.
Yeah. So it was like, let's just say like the Volume 2. You wasn't on Volume 2, right?
I was on, I think Volume 3.
Yeah, so like the first few tapes was just mainly like Cam, Juelz, and Jim for the first few tapes, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then, they kind of like
Volume 2.
Then Hell-Rell comes in, and then you get found by Luca Brasi, mm-hmm. put you to camp.
Correct.
Right? Did it feel weird that I'm a Bronx cat with a whole bunch of these Harlem niggas?
Yeah, that shit felt awkward.
Okay. How did that?
Not really awkward because Harlem and Bronx niggas always hung together. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, as far as being in a rap group with Harlem niggas. Mm-hmm.
No, so everybody used to be like, yo, you from Harlem? You're like, no, I'm from the Bronx.
Yeah. Okay.
I've never understood that. Even I'm from Brooklyn, right? So I'd be like, yo, this is Frederick Douglass. Nah, that's 8.
And then
right. That's 7. Like, right. My nigga, I don't know what you're talking about.
Nah, but you got to realize, we got HBO, Harlem and Bronx only. Y'all got BQE.
Yes, so, I agree. 100%, yes.
Right, uh-huh. So you know, it's the same shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Same
100%.
Shit. 100%.
So now you come into the fold.
Right.
Did you have to sign paperwork, or it was a handshake? How did this even happen?
It was a handshake. It was a salute.
Hell-Rell.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was just like a vibe. Like he was fucking with me, and he didn't know I was going to jail. You know what I mean? Like I told.
Hold on. Let's rewind it. So you said I'm gonna sign with y'all. I'm gonna get down with y'all, but I'm about to go to jail. Or you knew you was about to go to jail?
I was already about to cop out some time when Cam snatched me up. And I ain't tell him that. So when he was on the baseline recording songs and shit, I said, damn, I gotta tell this nigga.
Now I'm about to go get locked up.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because
he was like, fuck it.
Man, I'm gonna ride it out. I'm in baseline, hove right here. You feel me? I'm riding this shit out. So, you know, but I had to tell him because I wanted to be a real nigga. And he kept it real. He said, yo, we're gonna hold you down until you come home. And he put the Diplomat album out, had me on it. Mm-hmm. No paperwork. So when I came home, I had to sign.
How long did you go sit down for?
2.5.
People say that's light work, but
That was a light work back
two
then.
2 days for me, I ain't
that. That was a light work back okay, then. Uh-huh. 2.5, so 2.5.
You was on the beginning, I remember this, I think, right? It was at the beginning. I don't know what was the song. Like, you know, you just had your own joint. It was like a freestyle.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
This is what I do. And then I had a freestyle over the phone on the album tour as well.
Okay. And this was no paperwork, no nothing.
No paperwork, no nothing. Just fucking with a nigga.
They just looked out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then how did JR get into the fold? You got in while he was locked up.
Yeah, I mean, I actually met him before.
Me and JR knew each other before we got down with them.
Okay. Because I'm coming from this era where it's like, if you nice, it don't matter what borough you from, we gonna bump heads. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I started battling people in Harlem and the Bronx and everywhere. And I got my name hot in the hood. And my man Vonnie introduced me to Luca. Same person that introduced him to Killer.
So Luca is kind of like the
He's
new
the crazy
guard.
Glue. He was the crazy glue. The okay. street crazy glue. Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, uh-huh.
Yeah, he was like, uh-huh. he was prolific, you know, he was kind of like futuristic. He had some charismatic nostalgia shit that attracted a lot of people to him. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, lingo.
You know what I mean? The slang, the, you know, and you know, he, every ball, he knew all the stars. So Cam was his friend, so it just made sense at that time. Mm-hmm.
So now Luca brings you into the fold.
Yeah, and I mean, I was pulling up, just battling people on 145th. You got battles of me on 145th out there with Luca on YouTube right now. But yeah, one day Cam had pulled up. That's what he was telling me. Just stick around. Come rock with me up here. And I would go up there all the time. And then one day Killer pulled up right after they shot the cover for the first mixtape.
Okay.
They had the furs on, him and Juelz. And I rap for him and he's like, yo, we ain't got the deal yet. Juelz ain't signed yet, but stick around and I got you. So, yeah.
Oh, because Juelz was gonna get signed to Def Jam.
Rockefeller, yeah.
Oh, Rockefeller, Def, okay. Yeah. Well, I think he was signed directly to Def Jam, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. yeah. So, yeah, so I stuck around and then put my work in, you know. It was a challenge for me.
So now, from what I remember, you was under Koch, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had
did you get
Koch.
Upset like, dang, I wanted to be on Def Jam, man, but I'm on Koch?
Oh, nah. Because okay. my first meeting was with Sony. Mm-hmm. We were with Dave McPherson. Joey I.E. still didn't launch Asylum yet, but he wanted to sign me as well. Mm-hmm. I know he was telling me Mike Lighty was hollering at him, and then Koch. But he said Koch was the most lucrative, the best deal.
You're saying he? Can't.
Killer. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, uh-huh. yeah. So we ended up... sitting down
what
with Koch.
What would make that the most lucrative deal?
We was under the impression that we was getting $7 a record. Mm-hmm. But we ain't really know too much of the ins and outs back then, so that's what really made us hype. And we ended up signing with them.
So what was wrong with what didn't happen that you didn't get this $7 a record? The reason why I'm asking, because there might be someone listening and don't, you know, may be going through the same thing or about to go through the same thing.
I don't know. Duke, could you explain that? I don't know where that
Duke,
that
you was in the room
from.
Too signing the paperwork?
I had a deal. I had albums too.
He had his own deal. Okay. He had his own deal too. We was all under the impression that we was getting $7 a record.
It was not quite $7 a record.
Yeah.
I wish it was. Like, I'm looking at these numbers like, hold up, y'all just like $500,000 right now. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But it didn't work like that. I don't know, like, as far as like, I don't know where that number came from. Like, it just running, like, I don't know, like, you know what I mean? But it wasn't quite $7 a record. I guess, like, the distribution fee, the manufacturing of the CDs, mm-hmm. And all that probably came out of that $7, and it probably went down to probably, like, probably $3 a unit.
$3, okay.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
But it wasn't quite $7. You
know yeah, we looked at it like, oh, this is the future of hip hop, we going independent, we going $7, we going to kill them. They only making sense on the majors, you know, but kind of find out years later, it was just a regular royalty deal.
Also, you found out that the $7 wasn't really $7 after y'all signed, like after the fact?
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah.
But so how does that work today now? So when I say that, meaning, because I do remember, JR, you had smokers. You understand what I'm saying? When I say smokers, meaning there's, you know, and this is me being talking DJ talk, meaning, you know, some people got good records, but then some people got like...
Some people got smokers.
Smokers. You understand what I'm saying? Let's go. You understand? Yeah. I'm being honest. I'm keeping it real.
Original club DJ
yeah,
for real.
You understand? I'm being honest. You understand? Like, yeah. Like it's some joints that you like, yo, this is good. You know, you can play this, right. But then this one, you got to play.
Yeah.
You understand? Or you, yeah. Or as a DJ, you know, you making sure if it was a record or a CD, I think at this time it's CDs, that you alcohol the CD to make sure it didn't skip. You understand what I'm saying? So you had that. So like, how did that feel when, you know, somebody say, all right, let's go independent, but you know that, especially at that time, we can go to these major labels and I could become a bigger star. You understand? What made you say, let me pivot from that and let me, you know, let me chase after this $7 that I thought I would have had?
I got down with Killer and when I was super young.
Okay.
I rapped for him for the first time. I was like 17, turning 18. So I remember when, just to use this as an example, I remember when Juelz called me And he had put me on his first album. And he called me, he like, yo, how much you want to be on the how much you want to be on the album? I'm like, I never, you know, no one ever asked me. Like, no one was willing to pay, you know what I mean, for a verse back then. So I was just like, I just want people to hear me. I just want niggas to know I'm nice. He like, man, how much you want? Def Jam is cutting me a check. I'm like, I don't know, 1,000? He like, I'm gonna give you 10,000. Matter of fact, I'm gonna get 10,000, I'm gonna give you the 7 or whatever. But I use that as an example that I just, at that point, I didn't even care about the money. I just wanted to get on and, you know, I know everything else will work itself out afterwards, just as long as people knew I was hot. You get what I'm saying?
But so now, what I'm trying to allude at is even being on a major, you know, you get reached to more people, is what I'm saying. So it's like...
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm so happy to just be on, especially with Cam being one of my favorite. He's from... That's like, you know, you being from Brooklyn signing it to Jay-Z. So it was just like...
Let me tell you, Uptown, what you go. Jay-Z is not the end all be all of Brooklyn. I'm just like... everybody think that. Everybody just like, Jay-Z.
And he is a good representative of Brooklyn. Like, if you... Like, he's like at like the top. Is he not?
Yeah, to me, he's the top in the rap game, period. Right.
Is he not?
To me, he's number one ever. You know, but
I mean, I think we still, even though Big passed away, but we still, era is big. You understand what I'm saying?
Copy. No, I get that.
You know, all right, but go ahead.
But yeah, you know, I confided in Cam, so I had 100% full trust in his word, because my first meeting was with Sony, which was a major label at the time, and well, still now, but. Yeah, I still was just like, all right, that's what we doing. Let's do it. You get what I'm saying? So,
So these songs, I remember Shake, but I don't know if that was your song. I think that was Cam's song, right?
It was my song originally. I had gave it to DJ J Arms. Shouts to J Arms, and it just was going on Big Mike mixtape, just different mixtapes. Cam had heard it. Cam heard it, called me, told me to come to Hit Factory, and. He's like, yo, let's do it over. But you know what it was, though? I had a long verse on it.
Okay.
And I go to Rockefeller, because we had an office at Rockefeller. I go to Rockefeller, and everybody in all the cubicles is playing it. Aunt Lava at promotional office, he's playing it. So Cam had got whiff of it, and he told me to come to Hit Factory. And it was just me and him, and we was just putting it together. Came up with the hook, and then I shortened my verse, and it became a hit. And, you know, I got a gold plaque off of that. Yeah.
No, that was a smoker.
Yes, sir.
That was a smoker. Yes, sir. So now your project coming up. Did you feel any pressure from being next up with these big group that's called the Diplomats at the time? This is Diplomats. It's pre Dipset now.
Still Dipset back then.
Dipset.
Okay. Yeah. So where did it change the Dipset from Diplomats to Dipset? Even though I know it's Diplomats, but where did the shorten, where did that come in?
It was just like an AKA for the crew from the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it came in early. Like I can't remember what tape it came out on first.
I thought it was either Rao or Juelz that made it up. That's the rumor I heard. One of them.
So let me ask all y'all questions, because we like, you know, we hip hop. How did y'all feel when, you know, the crew was going at Nas? Because like, yo, this is Nas. Like, how are we doing this to Nas?
I was devastated.
How are we doing this to Nas and Jones?
I understood, but I was still hurt. And I know, like, you know, like, it really hurt it. I didn't like, because I'm like the biggest Nas fan. Even Cam was the biggest Nas fan.
Okay.
But it's just that he was coming at Cam.
Yeah, but
Brand.
Yeah, Nas started that. He started that.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, but sometimes you gotta let somebody get a pass. Like, nah, he good. He's spazzed, my nigga.
Killer went at anybody who said anything at that time, like raw, like a, you know what I mean? So it didn't matter.
I remember
who
he wrote that first that diss. I really mean it. And right after he performed at Summer Jam, he was taking Nas' spot. Remember, Nas wanted to hang up, not Summer Jam, I forgot
it
what.
It was Summer Jam.
Okay, yeah.
He wanted to hang the whole noose.
Yeah. And they dubbed it, and then Cam took his spot. Mm-hmm. And then after the radio rant, Cam was in a Beamer, right in that joint, in the parking lot of Summer Jam.
Wow. Okay,
but that one hurt it. That one hurt it because I didn't. I'm like, damn, this is Nas, right? Like, but as you know, just being honest, you know what I'm saying. But I knew the mission. Okay, we gotta go at Nas.
The mission.
We can't show no kinks in the armor, and we was ready on everybody's neck. Like it didn't matter who you was, you know what I'm saying, around, especially around that time.
So, Duke, you seem like you have a lot invested. So I'm even getting into a couple of the beats. So now, how did you feel when? When the Mace and Cam thing kind of like.
That was a sad joint too. Like that was sad. They were always feuding for the last, since, I don't know, since Mace's first album, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was sad because I remember Mace used to take us out on the road with him, like let Cam open up for like one of the tours early back in the days. Like, I think it was I don't know what tour it was, but this one, he used to take Cam out, let Cam open up. Like when nobody knew who Cam was, like he would, like I forgot the name of the tour they was on, but like he took him out, you know what I mean? Let him rock it, you know what I mean? Everybody coming in, nobody knows Cam, nobody know who he is. This was before Cam's first album. And to see that relationship go, and you know what I mean? It was just, it was set. I didn't like that neither, you know what I'm saying? To be honest, Mace was always cool, always my man. And
why they never put Cam in Harlem World?
Because Cam didn't want to be in Harlem World.
Okay, why not? He thought they was whack juice or something?
Nah,
you keep it real?
I'm going to keep it real. What happened was the offer did come. I think they wanted Cam and they wanted Jim in Harlem World, but Cam said no because he always looked at his mission. I swear, like, in real time, I could say this, like, he always knew he was much more than that, though.
Okay.
Yeah, but he didn't take the money or none of that. I guess based off of the money. Too, I believe, and he didn't take that. You know what I mean? He just kept it. He knew the mission. He had it. You know, he's very, like, planning ahead. He's a plan-ahead person. And he planned ahead, and he just turned that down. You know what I mean? So they got Huddy Combs. Rest in peace. Huddy Six. Rest in peace. You know what I mean? So.
Shout out to Hud. What was Hud's involvement in all this? Was it through Mace or through Cam?
Through Cam.
So how did Hud switch to be with Mace?
Nah, because it was just understood. Like, Hud was not like... Like Cam didn't have a plan for her rapping, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he sanctioned that to go down. And Hud was always cool with everybody, you know what I'm saying? Hud was the most charismatic, coolest person, funny person. So naturally, you know what I mean? He always looked like a rapper, you know what I'm saying? But he just didn't put the hard work into right rhymes. You know
R.I.P. Hud, man.
Yeah, so he...
You always had the hat somehow, you know, it never fell, right?
Yeah,
rest in peace, Hud, you know what I mean? But yeah, he always had he had everything, but he just didn't have the discipline to write rhymes, you know what I mean? So, and he had this charisma, he had the most swag in the whole, all out, you know what I'm saying? And so Mace put that together. I think it was him, it was Hud, was it Caught In?
Bloom.
So, Cam was too much of a star for that. Like, he knew his mission, you know what I mean? And we just waited, and then,
So didn't y'all two guys have issues with the set at a point in time also?
What you mean?
Like, you know, like, I guess monies wasn't right or, you know, things wasn't...
Yeah, man, it was issues, you know.
The real issue wasn't with the set. It was more so with the label and the, you know.
But when I say the set, meaning the label, Diplomat Records, I'm pretty, that's who y'all signed to.
I never signed to Diplomat Records.
So who was you signed to?
Koch.
I signed directly to the labels.
Directly to Koch?
The distributors.
Okay,
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, in my mind, maybe I'm, at the time, I gave off that energy where it's like I'm beefing with the set, you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But, you know, after we figured out all the business and
so, just to get it clear, so Cam takes you to Koch, but he allows you, and I'm just using the word allow, loosely, to sign directly without no ties or anything like you, is just you signing directly to Koch without no ties?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because it was more of a family. I'm tatted, you know, you get what I'm saying? So it was more of a family thing.
I'd applaud him for that, because I'm bringing somebody to you.
Yeah, you signed
the Gwinnett Records, baby. You know what I'm saying?
You know? You got like nine artists.
It is what it is, bro. You know what I'm saying?
But nah, we did two deals with Warner Brothers and with Koch, and I never signed to the set, just directly. Mm-hmm. He'd get his cut, I'd take my cut, but I'll still be in a Diplomat vehicle. I still had a machine behind me. The Duke, the Guards, and, you know, everybody.
When y'all were putting out your projects early on, do you feel that New York radio was supportive? And I'm asking this because when you see what happened with Hot 97, and a lot of people have been coming out and saying that maybe not Hot 97, but people at Hot 97 kind of like hindered their careers. They didn't get enough support. Do you feel like you guys got enough support?
Those people that you took, like, with, I can say that.
Yeah.
With Ebro, you know, shouts to Ebro. So good. So
this ain't the radio, man.
Yeah. I'm forgetting. I don't want to, man. I know it's beef there, my nigga.
Nah, nigga, ain't no beef. The funny thing is, and I'm gonna let you finish. I think the beef started with those guys and stuff like that, because us on the field, and I'm using the word on the field.
Right.
Like, we hung out. I hung out with Camilo. I hung out with Big Ben and Cass Swan, and these, we all was cool. Yeah, so yeah. It was just like, you know, I ain't got time to be, I don't own this, and you don't own this, so why I'm beefing with you? Like, you
they fuck radio up, man.
Okay.
When we came
around, he wasn't even in the building, though.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I remember when he first got there from LA.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, but we was, luckily, we had Cam, you know, we had Jim. They was already familiar with, what was her name? The program director back then? I forgot.
I know you said it was a white lady.
Yeah, it's an old white lady. Yeah, so he was already in the mix. So we had that leverage.
And Cam always knew how to, from all his experience, from all his deals, from Confessions of Fire, all the albums, he knew how to work the radio. He knew what to do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was real good. Like, whatever it took, he would call the program director. He would call the DJs. He was very no label. We are the label. I mean, like, he would do it himself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And he always, yeah, like, even with the radio budgets, like, he knew how much money to spend at radio from the label. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he wouldn't want to spend too much, because he know what it is. He like, damn, that's my money. They take it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but he knew how to work the radio stations real good. Mm-hmm. So I can't say for us. That's a question for us. I'm not complaining about our spends like that.
I think what she was maybe alluding to is, did y'all have to change the way y'all rapped?
Nah, not at all.
You sure?
The
reason why I'm saying that, right? Because there are a lot of, it was a time where it was a shift, right? Whereas New York is, you know, making bouncier records, and I'm our guy, Hov.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, making Big Pimpin', and you understand what, you know, right, like right, that. Right. So did y'all ever have pressure?
Biggie did, you know, the what's this, your bone?
Well, see, the reason why I wouldn't include Biggie doing the bone thing, because he actually had bone on there. You understand what I'm saying? So to me, it's like, I'm doing a song with these guys, but, you know,
I'm using their style.
With them, though. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying?
Whereas, but that was so many years before you guys started dropping your music. Like, you guys started, from my recollection, from what I remember, is like 2008, 9-ish, 10-ish.
No,
it was
like 2000.
A little more back.
2002,
2003,
2004, 2005. I mean, okay, listen, I'm a
girl. I wasn't that locked. It's okay.
Give me a little credit.
No, you're good.
2008, I'm going to see that. So around that time, we did have, like, somewhat bouncy music, but it was still about, like, rappity rap music.
But another thing, going back to Hot 97, they wasn't playing nothing, they didn't have no 808s in it.
Okay.
So that forced us to jump on these beats.
So you agree that people had to, New Yorkers had to switch?
The radio made us do
switch.
That.
Okay, cool. Uh-huh.
They wasn't playing nothing that was boom bappy. Mm-hmm. So you had to jump on those type of beats to try to get played.
Mm-hmm.
And it fucked us up, because we still didn't get played.
Mm-hmm.
You know that self. You feel what I'm saying? So, you know, at the end of the day, every New York artist got a bunch of songs in their fucking computer that sound like a 2 Chainz record or a Jeezy record, but in a New York formula. And it just fucked us up.
We embrace a lot of those artists, though, like T.I.
No, we love those artists.
And we love collabing with those artists. Lil Wayne was on my first single. I had Lil Wayne on Dykeman. You hear what I'm saying?
But to me, at that point, Lil Wayne was sounding like he was conforming to New York style.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So, me
my
saying
my first
that,
single's on 106 in Park, and I'm rapping on it.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't none of that bounce.
So I mean, I, again, what I think she's alluding to, this predate me being on radio. I wasn't on the radio.
He don't want to get blamed for none of this.
He was in the clubs. He was in the clubs.
You performed with it, though. You went with the program. You went with the program, though, self.
You went with the program.
One of self-favorite records, and he know He know that got that swag. Surf was one of your records. That's your favorite record.
Okay, so with that, this is message, right? Or not message. My man, he's from Flatbush, Brooklyn. He's the one that actually put that together.
Okay.
He's from Brooklyn, New York. So that's
how. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's how. But let me tell you, I like the record so much, but I said to myself, I don't want this, and this was at that time, I don't want this Southern stuff taking over our New York stuff. So I took all the verses off and put New York cats on.
You definitely did that.
You understand what I'm saying?
You definitely did that.
I put Fabulous at the time, Jewels,
yes, Sirski,
Mano, and Red Cafe. And I took all their verses off.
Yeah, you did.
And put them on there.
Yeah,
I said, this is going to be New York.
Yeah, you did.
We taking, we jacking this. You understand what I'm saying?
He flipped it in a New York version.
Yes, you understand?
He did. Proud of hat off to you. You know what I mean?
So, you understand? So, but I also understood somewhat where it was going, and I felt like in the South they wasn't jacking us. You understand what I'm saying? So I said, let me try to figure out how I can get this, you know, Southern people to, you know, start rocking with us. And I think that I think at that point in time, you know, people had to change. I'm not a rapper, so I'm glad that you're saying that. But I did see a shift in people starting to trying to, you know, rap like Southerners.
Right.
You understand? And then we also got other regions. We got Midwest, we got West Coast, but everybody was rapping like Southerners.
That's a fact.
You understand? And a large part of it, I'm starting it with Big Pimpin'. It may be some pro dating that,
you
but I'm looking at Big Pimpin' and
no.
Hey Poppy and all that. So, okay.
Oh, Hey Poppy wasn't okay. One of
them. Mace had A Boy and MJG on the world.
He had A Boy MJG on the record is what I'm saying.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
All
so
right.
To me, it, like you collabing with someone else, I don't think it's you know, but when you start making a record sounding like someone else on your own, to me, it's just weird. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and
oh, but even when Jay jumped on Juvenile's track, escape.
Yeah, well, he's saying that
the remix. I'm talking about on your own.
Yeah. I'm talking about on your own. So I'm using Hey Poppy as a break. It's like boom, boom, boom.
That's not like a Southern sound, though.
Big Pimpin' maybe, but he had
Big Pimpin', I can see.
Yeah, well, that's why I scratched Big Pimpin' because he had them on there. You understand? But,
Nah, listen. That's not a Southern sound song, though.
Hey, Poppy?
No. Y'all think
what?
So? I don't think so.
Nah,
what?
I don't think. I think it's more like a, it got like a 90s R&B type of vibe.
Yeah.
R&B and hip-hop.
It's a Timberland beat, so I guess it got a little...
What?
Think so.
Okay, all right, whatever y'all
but
say.
But that's right. a good, now I'm be thinking about okay, what New York cool. sounds
so I just wanted to give some history. Now let's move forward. Moving forward, I don't know what's going on with Dipset, right? So I try to make phone calls. I know everybody, yo, who cool with who? Who cool with who? Blah, blah, blah. I see you guys got Diplomats, everything on. Is it, yo, we love everybody or, you know, do people got to pick a side? Like, how did
this shit is a family, man. You and your brothers is beefing. You going, you know what I mean? You got
to. So now, as you saying, brothers beefing, do you say to one brother, yo, come on, knock it off? You say to this one, knock it off, or let's force people to get together?
We all strategically know how to mind our business in certain shape, forms, and fashions. You understand what I'm
okay,
saying?
Okay, so. If you hang out with one, right?
Yeah.
Then the other one gets mad.
You're being messy now.
And the reason why I'm saying that.
How do females say you're being messy now? So.
No, I'm being honest, right? Because I know some street guys and it's guys that I know that know both. And
we're
they
group
get,
members. So at the end of the day, entourage niggas do that.
Okay.
That's entourage
okay,
shit.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, cool. That's a good one.
All right then. You feel me? I'm just saying. That's entourage shit. Tony Yayo could be cool with Lloyd Banks and still go jump on a jet with Fifth. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. All right then.
Okay.
That's entourage shit. Uh-huh. That don't affect us. We X-Men.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We, I mean, that's for the humans. Okay. We mute ourselves. Self.
You feel me? Okay.
Yeah, but no, we rock with everybody. They all are.
No, I'm not saying that nobody shouldn't rock with other, but I do that put you guys in an awkward position where it's like, dang, you know, do I hang out with this person more? Do I don't hang out with this person? Or do I look like I'm picking a side?
That was the first beef run.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That was the first beef run, because it was two times when they both fell out, you know, our brothers. And that was the first run. The first run, you didn't really know what to do. You know what I'm saying? This time around, we seasoned. You know what I'm saying? We know how to move. You know what I'm saying?
This seems more like a mature beef this time.
So then
excuse me?
It seems like a more mature beef.
Me and J.R. Ryder and Duke the God are working on Double Trouble. Yes. We are so far away from negativity.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, this all around the board, though.
This is where it brings me to here, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's maturity.
What makes you two guys, right, along with Duke, what made you say, all right, come on, let's come together. Let's start doing something together.
Well, early in the year, JR was doing some going down some rabbit holes, and he found some loopholes, and we was able to get our masters back, all of us at the same time.
Congratulations.
You know what I mean?
So you was like, let me just Google this or something like that?
No, what I was doing was I noticed that I got like 800 songs, but I'm not getting paid from all of them because it was just scattered on different projects. So I start taking them down. I created something called like some imaginary thing with me and Duke called Operation Takedown. So I start taking down the albums. And once I seen the labels ain't pushing back, because I start copywriting my stuff too.
Okay.
Once I seen the labels wasn't pushing back, I said, whoa, let me find out if they owe me some money. You get what I'm saying? So I start going down a rabbit hole and I figure out who to hit. And then I was able to get our old contract. I noticed that Rel was on the same contract. I put Rel on, we hired a lawyer, we got Kevin Hart's lawyer. And you know, they did the right thing. They cashed us out. And
so I got a guy for that. He's a guru with music masters and publishing. What? I'm gonna pass the word around if I got somebody good.
Who's that?
Dangu Roach.
That's my man.
Yeah, we know.
That's my man.
He helped us with a little something with the cross seas.
He did?
Yeah. Shout out to Dangu Roach. He actually contributed some information to this. You know what I mean? That's my guy.
Yeah, me and Gua Lockton. Yeah,
we got bread together before, like. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he the dude.
So now,
once we did that, once they cut the checks, Duke was able to do the same as well for his albums. He got his masters back. But once they cut the check, did the right thing, we was like, yo, it's perfect time, man.
Because me and him was already plotting on Double Trouble years ago. So, you know what I'm saying? Because we was always on Duke the God's albums.
What make y'all
like
say, I own my masters now, let me put out an album? Like, why would that make you say, I want to put out an album?
Because we're going to eat 1,000% off of it.
But wouldn't you eat off of the new album that you already put out because you're starting fresh?
Yeah,
of course.
So we was already working as far as doing solo things and things like that. But we were just so excited. You know, I got a new crib in DR, and we was just so excited. He got the new crib.
You got a new crib in DR?
Yeah, I got the penthouse, all white, you know, some fly shit.
I can't go with you, man.
He got a twinkle in his eye.
Duke was just out there.
Allegedly. Don't get him in trouble. I don't know if he got something at home.
No, allegedly. He's single. He was just out there with me for 5 weeks straight. He didn't want to leave. He's looking at flights today, trying to go back.
I believe that. You know what I'm saying? Chichi like a king.
But we just felt like, you know, it's the perfect time. It's a void out there. And, you know, And then we did TMZ, and then we had that On the Radar. Once we did On the Radar, we seen the reaction. We
freestyle
said,
was stupid.
Shit.
Shout out my man Gate.
Yeah,
like,
Gate.
We gotta really go, you know what I mean?
You got streamers, a little 19-20-year-old niggas talking about, oh, this is real hip hop. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because they ain't grow up on it, but they know what it is, you know what I'm saying?
They
know when they hear it, you know what I'm saying?
Because there was a point in time where our hip hop was just like, oh, come on, that. We don't want to hear that old school shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Now it's just like, yeah, this is what we need. This is what hip hop need and things like that. But and then, you know, Duke the God is always on deck as far as direction and beats. And he, you know, A-Rap, he discovered A-Rap music. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? So he got a dope ear for beats.
I was just going to say, by putting out new music, because the younger generation, like you said, they are appreciating actual bars. Like, real, I don't want to call real rap, I feel bad, but like lyrical rap, I'll say, is being appreciated again after about a 10-year stretch. So you putting out this new music, I'm assuming that the younger generation who's getting put onto you is now streaming your older music.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which now, since you own the masters again, you're getting paid from that too, which is like a double benefit,
right? But it's kind of like when you watch a movie and an actor kind of like stands out in that movie, like, mm-hmm. oh shit, then that makes you go what? Watch all every movie he was in prior to that, right?
Right.
So when that happens, we want to get paid when that young kid goes back and want to listen to Writer's Block 1, 2, 3, and 4.
So do you re-put the music out?
Yeah, we take them down.
Yeah, that's what I had.
You know what I mean? And then we put them back up on the DSPs.
But where did you get the music from? Was it in your library? Did you like? The reason why I'm walking through people, I want to walk through people because someone could be going through this, and you know, I'm just even me. I put out records, and I'm just like, okay, how do you do?
Download them all for YouTube, convert them into WAV files.
Okay, cool. Okay,
right.
And that's it.
Okay, cool. Reload them again.
Yeah, reload them.
those are the mixed versions anyway.
Uh-huh.
But not only that, you know, what I mean, we just I own like 20 albums. I own Wild Song, so I was able to go say, you know what, let me license 10 of these albums so I could eat, you know what I mean, and don't have to think about it. It's just a whole bunch of things just to go in that goes into ownership, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, just to have multiple portals. We talk about that all the time, you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To wake up to certain checks where it's like, oh shit.
Yeah, Holmes is like real estate. It's like a nigga own 10 houses and he going from house to house picking up mm-hmm. rent money every month.
Right.
You want those albums and projects you put
That's
out
a good analogy.
Is paying you
Facts.
Every month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
How do y'all feel about selling publishing?
Selling publishing is dope, but you definitely don't want to sell it for too long. You want it to revert back to you.
So, you sell it for like a certain amount of time?
Yeah, 3 to 4 years, shit like
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yup, 7 the most. Nothing over 7.
Okay.
Nothing over 7. They
Good
tell you over
you.
7, they trying to
finesse
you.
They trying to rock people, yeah. yeah. I've heard some yeah. cases working with Google, actually. I've heard some cases.
Like, mm-hmm.
You're rocking people for that. Well, congratulations. That's
Thank
a big,
you.
That's a big deal for y'all.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And a lot of people, you get the haters online. No, you ain't Future. You can't sell your masters for $28 million or $10 million. Shut the fuck up.
Uh-huh.
I have a piece of property that I own that's paying me monthly, yearly, like I had a house.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what can you tell a nigga who own a house on your block? Or you only making $3,800 a month. Shut the fuck up. I'm picking this up every month, though. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like.
And honestly, a lot of artists, can't go back 20. You know how many artists tried to go back because they signed bad deals and it's like, yo, but they owe me. No, it's like it's so many rules and loopholes. It's like the discovery rule
right.
that's been triggered or
right.
statute of limitations. You could only get 2-3 years back pay and things like, but we was able to go all the way back.
Yeah, and if Will Smith want to make a Bad Boys Part 7 10 years from now and want to use a J.L. Wright or Hell Rose song,
you get paid for
all the money gums to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you
like,
know what I'm saying? So,
I just got an email for NFL.
Right.
For Christmas. Yeah, one of the songs was me, Jim, and Stack Bundles. Rest in peace to Stack Bundles. They're supposed to be playing that.
So is it better that you just put out mad music because you never know what catch?
Correct. Correct. You never know what's going to stick to the wall.
Quality music,
Quality.
Never know what's going to stick to the wall.
Quality, yep.
That's if you dope, you could do that.
What would you say would be a big mistake that you did that you would change in your career?
A big mistake as far as what? Like it's
in your career.
Doing little frivolous deals, little one-offs. Cause I had like a street mixtapes I was putting out with Duke called Writer's Block.
Duke gave you a bad deal?
Nah.
Oh, that's my guy.
All
right, cool.
We was putting out,
don't worry about it. You got the glasses.
we was putting out mixtapes, CD mixtapes or whatever, and I ended up doing a deal, taking 5 songs off this tape, 7 songs off that tape,
mm-hmm.
giving it to a certain distributor, taking a nice little check, and then forgetting about it. But then years later, when fans are like, yo, those is classic series and this, that, and the third, and I want to re-release them, I can't because they all scattered all over the place. So yeah, I regret doing those little one-off deals and not being a little bit smarter.
Mm-hmm. Well?
I regret treating my career like I was living like a bank robber.
What that mean?
I'm gonna give you the analogy. Good, right. A bank robber, rob a bank for $300,000-$400,000 and run around and live his life till he get low. Now he plotting his next bank robbery.
Got you. Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I was doing that with rap deals. I get $300,000-$400,000-$700,000, run through that. Now me and Jerry Ryder trying to call to finesse the next bag, and I should have just stayed the course and just, you know. But I ain't crying over spilt milk. I bought a new cow, self. You know what I'm saying? I don't like to talk about old milk, man. We got new cows. You know what I'm saying? We got new cows. You know what I'm saying? But I understand what you mean.
No, the reason why, because I feel like a lot of our stories, and especially you two guys' stories, is not told.
Right.
You understand? And I have a lot of interns at the radio station, and I tell them certain things, you know, and they just don't know. And then sometimes we, as older people, think that everyone understands or knows. Mm-hmm. And I get confused that I'm using, today I saw, last week, I saw it was Kasanai's birthday. Right. He was like, he's 23. And I'm like,
God,
he's like 23. Like, you understand what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, snap. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Right. So I'm like, so, you know, and I think that the younger generation are not like when I grew up. When I grew up, I didn't grow up on Marvin Gaye, but I knew about Marvin Gaye, or I at least knew the records and things like that, you know, because the older people told me or taught me, or I had to sit and listen to it while I party with my parents or older people.
Right.
Whereas nowadays, the parents and the kids are listening to the Take Me Through There, but you listen to the same music.
Right, you understand what I'm saying? Right,
like, we both listen to twerking together, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or whatever. So I think that, that has changed. So a lot of times, I do want people to know the history and to, you know, for even me to remember things. Because I as I'm sitting and talking to him, I remember the impact of, I'm using Shake for an example.
Right.
You understand? And that's a record that I know that I could add back into my fold and put somebody be like, ooh, remember that? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Because as a DJ, you know, those factors is makes you a great DJ of those unexpected records that you loved, but you didn't expect to hear it.
One thing that I witnessed Jim do with you, and I don't think new artists do that nowadays, I watched Jim call you to the studio to play records for you, and you'd be like, Jim, that ain't it. Jim, that ain't it. Jim, this is it. Give it to me right now. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? Do these new artists call y'all to the two DJs to the studio and do that process?
No. But you know what it is? I think with the new artists, they may feel like the DJ, you know, they're going to play it anyway, or they, you know, I don't know if the respect of the DJ is still there.
Okay.
I think the respect of the internet is still there. I mean, it's there, but not the respect of the DJ.
Correct.
And I, you know, me being a DJ, of course, I'm a, you know, pro, you know, hey, the DJ.
Correct.
I think that we are, when it comes musically, we got to be, if not the smartest, one of the top smartest, because we're in front of people every day. We know what works, what don't work.
Correct.
You know, and how you could serve it to people. Mm-hmm.
You think radio is still important?
Radio?
Yeah.
100%. So what changed from your style now in 2026?
I'm matured a lot, so you know it's a lot of different things I could talk about. Plus, my style just got more wittier. I guess more wittier. Mm-hmm. It's about being witty when you're rapping. You know what I'm saying? So I guess I sharpened my jab up.
Do you feel pressure to include like other people from other regions?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I'm me and JR, we too well seasoned.
We get wild love. So like how you bring up 2 Chainz, dude. We were supposed to link with 2 Chainz last night in the studio.
Okay.
Or whatever. We might be getting him on the album. But, yeah.
But 2 Chainz is a rapper.
He rapped.
Okay, yeah. I was trying to know that. Okay.
We was fucking with him when he was City Boy, you know? Uh-huh. But, we're going to reach out to a few artists. But we just focused on what we doing. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
But he was saying as far as like regional me, like from
said, do we feel pressured?
Yeah,
no. Yeah, the reason why I'm asking that, right? Because, you know, I'm a.
But do it make sense though? Because they don't reach out for us though.
Listen, so.
And it's no.
So,
hate.
So Webstar. Webstar's a friend of mine, right?
DJ Webstar.
He sends me a song and he asked me, he did what you said, but he's from the old.
Right.
Yo, how you feel about this song? Blah, blah, blah. So he played the song for me and I said, I don't like it. Right, I told him that. I said, I don't like it. He said, I sent it to somebody else, and they told me they did. I said, well, maybe they spinning you, or they don't want you. I said, I'm going to be honest with you, right? So I said, what you're saying on it doesn't make sense. It sounds like an older person trying to do something, 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 right? So I said to him, I said, I don't know. I said, I think we at the age that we're just not putting out records just to put out a record.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, before, maybe we was younger, yeah, just I'm good if my shit played in you know, lobby, Club Live or whatever. I got a bitch and they playing my song. I said, we at the age now, you want to put out something, you want to make it effective. So that's why I'm asking now, that I think that all of us sitting here are at the age that, you know, let's make things effective. So
but
I
me
don't
and
know,
J. I'd rather have a cult following, though. This is 20
years. So that's
years
where I'm
over.
Going back at.
Yeah.
So now, is it that I am trying to gain new fans, or am I trying to take care of
both.
The fans that I have
both.
Today?
Both. So we're adapting
both.
To
both. Both.
Sounds, beats, different diddy both. Bops, but we're incorporating, you know, our lyrics, mm-hmm. that rawness, that organicness. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys ever feel that there could be like a Dipset tour?
We were talking about that
we're
with
not
Jim
focused
last
on that
night.
Right now.
Yeah. But yeah.
We're not focused on that right now. It's all love, but we just trying to stay the course. You know what I'm saying?
No, well, to me, Dipset tours that help also helps people back catalog.
No, that's a fact.
Now, it don't have to be everybody. You know, I went viral. I was very upset. I went to Cash Money tour. And all I saw was BG and Juvenile.
Right.
I was fucking pissed off. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I'm a Baby fan. And a lot of people laugh because, you know, I think out of Cash Money, I like Baby the best as the rapper.
Oh, you like Birdman as the best?
Yes, and people laugh. But then when I start playing the songs, they get like, damn, damn, damn. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, I know he had to, you know, get your roll on. Still fly.
Big records. Big records.
Yeah, he had a very big record. Number one stunner. Like,
he ain't better than Weezy though, man.
Well, to me, Weezy. When I put Weezy to me is like, all right, here. You understand? It's like Jordan sometimes. Like, you know, people like, all right, you already know.
It's kind of saying like Big is better. Puff was better than Big. The CEO can't be better than the artist itself. Come on now.
Well, see, people forget that Baby was the first rapper. Baby was rapping before Wayne. You understand what I'm saying? If you look at Big Timers had their albums before Wayne.
Yeah, but I don't. It was.
And I'm not. Okay, let me exclude Wayne. Wayne put out so many things that you could.
What about Juvie?
I think he's a better rapper than Juvie.
What?
That's like his favorite. That's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
like
his favorite.
That's what he likes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I think he's a better.
About who's better.
But I'm, and this is me being honest with you, right? And you know, and she always like when I say shit like this, make people go crazy. But if you go song for song with Baby and Juvenile, right?
Baby ain't got that many songs.
That's what I just said. Did you see? Because you're not thinking. And once I start no homo spitting the songs that Baby got, you probably be like, oh shit! Oh, and then because
I love Stunner, right, man, now, but he ain't got shit that's fucking with 500 Degrees, man. I'm sorry, that whole album was crazy.
Well, 500 Degrees, that's Lil Wayne.
I mean,
okay, see, 400.
It's 400.
It's 400.
Excuse me, 400.
400.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Right.
So, and again, you know, I love Juvie, you know, so I'm not, you know, dissing, but I'm bigging up Birdman. You probably couldn't name 5 Juvenile records.
I can, but I think I smoked that part of my brain.
But you see what I'm saying? You just know Juvenile because that's in your mind or whatever. You understand what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
But I'm telling you, if I start telling, I just gave you about three or four Birdman
records.
Well,
you're a DJ, so I guess you've seen the rooms. Shake different to, I don't know.
That's, yeah, that, that's,
you know,
that's,
safe lock. Get your roll on. Everybody get your roll
that's
on.
That's Baby's song?
Yeah, everybody get your motherfucking
I guess that was the Big Timers,
on.
Right? Him, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's Big Time. Big Time is his baby. His baby and what's
and
he
doing?
Big
solo.
Time is a group. It's
what like, happened to that boy? Y'all bugging out, man. Yeah. What?
Shout out to Stunner, though. I fuck with Stunner.
Stunner.
I'm just saying, like, I don't mind doing the verses with you, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And showing you. Yo, my man Stunner.
Plies is his favorite rapper, so that explains. I mean, no Plies
is who favorite
shade,
rapper?
But that's his favorite rapper.
Oh, yeah, I know that. He's playing on Plies.
So it kind of, like, makes sense.
you know, so people get confused when, like you just said, my favorite and who would be the better rapper. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know.
Like Duke's favorite is Sexy Red.
I do love me some Sexy Red.
Y'all want to plug the project and how could they get it and everything like
wait,
that?
Wait.
I'm sorry.
What newer rappers are y'all fucking with?
What, who, newer?
Yeah, like the other younger generation.
I like Chef G, Sleepy Hollow. Okay. Yeah, I like those two artists.
Okay. I like ESTG. Okay. I like Rob 4-9. I'm saying it correctly?
Yeah, Rob 4-9.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I like him. I just like those right now.
And you have Sexy Red.
I like Sexy. I love me some Sexy Red. She's so talented.
Oh my God! This nigga
would you be mad if you found out someone was writing all her stuff?
Cause she sell it.
I wouldn't be mad, but I think she. I think personally, I don't know her at all. I'm not like but I think she probably does it herself. I don't think you could write that.
Does that really matter in the female world?
No, that's what I'm asking because to me, even if you write stuff, you still got to pull it off.
Yeah, you still got to.
You understand
pull
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's what I'm asking you because you're saying that you like somebody.
I'm not going to leave the outfit out for you, but you got
to
trip it.
Yeah, so sometimes to me, you know, people, you know, they be like, oh, you didn't write your own stuff. So that's why I'm asking you, like, when you love somebody, do you feel like.
Oh, no, that wouldn't bother me. Wouldn't bother me.
You discovered Cardi B, right?
I was one of the people who found her.
So you were.
Discover is a big word. Let me use this word. I helped her put a flashlight on her, or the spotlight on her.
Okay.
That's what I would say because a lot of times, you know, it's like somebody saying Luca Blasi discovered you, and you telling me you was rapping beforehand, but he plugged you in with Cam.
Good enough.
So I plugged her in with television.
Oh, okay.
You understand?
But you had it in the studio. You was put in the studio. She was
yes,
trying to
yes, in the
win.
Beginning.
Okay.
Yeah, and then
were you in charge of finding ghostwriters too?
They kicked you out the whip?
So at the time, to be honest with you, at the time, this was the first of its kind. So I'm trying to be bigger than DJ Khaled.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't care about nobody
yeah, like three
rapping.
Popping artists at the time on TV.
Yeah, I'm trying because when I first did television, I'm doing radio and I'm like, how could I sit in New York because I had to be in radio every day? And then get my name out there because I wanted to be bigger than Khaled. Mm-hmm. I said, let me do television. So now when we, you know, chose to make Cardi into a rapper, I'm not thinking about her rapping and all. I'm thinking about me. I'm trying to be a big DJ because at the time, you know, I was more popular than her.
Right.
You understand? But I don't think none of us that was around at the time in a million years would have thought people would even believe it or accept her as a rapper and different stuff because she didn't know how to speak very well and different
correct.
Things. So none of us would, you know, we didn't even know that until it happened.
Right.
You know, a large part, and people who don't, what you're going to, I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but a large part, I think Offset was one of the things that helped it out too with her learning things from being with the seasoned rapper at the time.
Mm.
I don't think he gets a lot of credit for that particular part.
Mm, okay.
You understand? Because,
right.
You know, if you look at it, it's like that's when the shift kind of changed. That's just me, per se. This is my opinion. You know, and people...
And she started dabbling with different flows and things like that.
I mean, but people could also say that she kind of helped his career, too.
I didn't say... You're taking it in the wrong way. I didn't say that no one helped or different things like that. I'm saying where the shift changed...
There was a shift,
but you know what? Not for nothing. Like, I don't want to highlight this, but I kind of knew that she was gonna blow because there was never a big Latina rapper like that before, right?
Let me finish.
And she had this way about her. So I was at Double XL at the time when she came out with the Gangsta Bitch volume with the guy eating her out while she's drinking the 40. And off of that, I knew that she needed work, but there was something about her. And we were picking freshmen at the time, and we were talking, and I was like, I think that we should at least highlight her as a feature. There's something there. There was something there when she came out with her mixtapes.
I'm not Offset. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I gave JR and I gave him as an example. He said, "Yo, I was killing people in the streets, freestyling, blah blah blah." But when I met him, he said, "Stay around because Cam is coming, right? Pause, yep. Right?
So
me saying that to you is, right?
Yeah, I was out of pocket, sir.
But what I'm saying to you is, I remember having Gangsta Bitch and giving it to all the radio DJs looking at me
Yellow?
Stupid.
You was you around for Bodak Yellow?
The who?
Bodak Yellow.
I was around there. I was around that time. But you know, the ghostwriter that she has, she met him through me at the radio station.
Wow.
You understand?
Okay, I know this. Listen,
if you ever come across, I'm willing to ghostwrite. I don't know why people don't hit me up. Cam the only person that hit me up for ghostwriting for his artist or whatever. But yeah, I'd be like, damn, how these people get into situations like that?
Switching gears, you just start writing songs, you know, writing songs and then soliciting them out.
But somebody hit me to write some songs for Diddy. I wrote one song. He said, nah, write to these four beats. I said, what? I'm not writing five songs. I'm working on my album. But yeah, that's
well, you can't do that if you want to be a ghostwriter.
Well, listen, thank God you let that deal go. Thank God. A lot going on.
Yeah, but the ghostwriter, I still think it changed. You know, and I know everybody's like pro female or whatever, but
was
I do
the ghostwriter party?
Say it again.
Was it a party?
Yeah, uh-huh. He was at the radio station promoting I forgot the name of his song he was. And then everybody just meshed and met or whatever. I per se didn't take it seriously because at the time I'm trying to be a DJ.
TV star.
Yeah, I'm going to football with y'all rapping. I'm not sitting in no studio. Even to this day, I'm
Cream
not sitting
squad.
In no studio
Cream
listening.
Squad.
I'm not sitting in no studio listening to the same
squad.
Song over and over.
But
beat.
But that's why I say artists should never sign to artists. That's exactly why I say that. Because, you know, for instance, I don't want to say any names. I don't want to start. Well, for instance, like a Rilo Rodriguez, right? He signed to Lil Baby. Me personally, I like him. I think by now he should be a little bigger, but he signed to Lil Baby. Lil Baby is still working on his own career. Or even like a Drake, when he signs artists, is like, but he's still busy. He wants to be in the limelight.
Yeah, but that's
still.
When you have people in the back. That's when you have a Duke. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, Cam might be the face, but then you got the Duke is
nah,
the one
Cam,
that goes
yeah,
find
Cam
the
was militant.
Around.
Like he's, it depends on your mentality, because Cam was like a boss.
Mm-hmm. But technically, you signed directly to a label anyway, to a situation, not necessarily under the him.
But it was
so
still
like you could still do
though.
What you need
it
to do.
It was still under him.
Still,
yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, yeah, it's still.
Yeah, Cam. He would test us. Let me hear some. Well, I heard that already. You falling off?
No,
you
know,
spit
Cam
something
is the
else.
Businessman. He not gonna just like you know.
Let's see who can write the quickest. 16. You know, man. Mm.
So yeah, I don't think there's nothing wrong with signing to and I think that sometimes is an advantage.
I think if the artist is simmering down and they're chill and they really want to build a business, then fine. But I think if the artist
Lil
is
Wayne,
still
look at yeah, that's
Drake,
what I'm about to say. We
Nicki.
Yeah,
but
we
Lil
arguing.
But Lil Wayne was kind of
what?
Kind
he wasn't
of nothing.
He was on chill.
He was never on chill.
Yeah, but that's different. That Drake and Nicki like that. You don't see that often. There's a lot of other examples.
That was crazy.
There's a lot of examples that people pop too.
Besides, yeah, Rick Ross, Meek Mill, Wale, yeah. Dipset, G-Unit.
Well, Meek Mill is no longer with Ross. He left a long time ago, went somewhere else. Wale.
But they started there.
Is on the internet complaining all the time. Like,
yeah, look at T.I. all the Young Droz and everybody mm-hmm. that, what you bugging out? What's the other? Travis Scott.
But Young Dro could.
Travis Scott comes up from
Yo
T.I.
Yo Gotti.
Yo Gotti. Oh, I forgot about that.
Travis Scott didn't come from
Google
T.I.
Google it.
He came from Ye, didn't he?
He came from T.I.
Wow.
No. You know that?
No, we need to Google
yeah, I
it.
I
can't
no.
wait. And then apologize to me later.
No.
Apologize to me later.
I never apologize.
And then he just said, Yo Gotti. That's a perfect example.
But Yo,
right there.
But Yo Gotti, again, like. He came out with a couple of tracks after that, but he hasn't been like on fire like since White. I think it was White Christmas. Where he had that 81 song. That's
on fire, he had a Rake It Up, Down in the DM.
Yes, and after that, is
but he
when
still had artists at that time.
He was, but even still, like his artist became bigger when he simmered down and was focused
no,
on his
simmered
label.
He ain't got you no more. I got.
That's the point.
I found diamond
point.
In the rough.
But
keep going, so you can apologize.
No, I'm never gonna apologize to you. I'm still cool. Hold on, Travis Scott did not. Go ahead, you can continue.
No, I can't wait. You know what I'm saying?
Travis Scott
can't
T.I.
wait.
That's bullshit.
All right, so do y'all want to plug the projects?
Yeah, February 6th. Double Trouble on the way. Can't wait, you know.
Thank me later, God. I told you. I'm hip hop, man. Fuck is you talking about? Is you shitting me? Harlem style.
He understands me. That's your man, Dap.
He understands
me. How you
say
it, bro? How you say it?
You shitting me?
You shitting me and getting me.
Shout out to Dap.
February 6th, I'm sorry, go ahead.
February 6th, tune in. It's going down. Me and Hal Rel, Duke the God, executive producing. You know, we got Double Trouble, the single dropping, and the video as well. So, yeah, can't wait.
Let's get it.
February 6th, stay tuned.
Yep. Yo.
When's the video dropping? Before the end of the year? Or?
Yeah, before the end of the year. Yeah. We got a freestyle and a video.
Apartment 5H, thank y'all for coming through.